When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Ready?
Let's go! 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now live in the Bank Plus studio, where college football meets the all lifestyle.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is
the Out of Bounds Show with Bo Bounds. Streaming around the world live at the Out of Bounds radio app. And on your radio at ESPN 105.9.
Where are you?
The Zone.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the Out of Bounds Show, brought to you by Eye Care Professionals. If you need cataract surgery, you want to go to Eye Care Professionals, Dr. Kirk Jeffries, or any of the physicians. Two locations on Lakeland Drive, Jackson and Bellmead. Show is also brought to you by the Honey Butter Chicken Biscuit, Burgers, Blues, and Barbecue, B3 in Dogwood. You do know that Burgers, Blues, and Barbecue's open in Madison. They've been open. They're open in Brandon. They're open in Dogwood. Dogwood. B3, great food, blue plates, burgers, the Dirty Bird Wrap. We talk about the fried pickles, the wings. B3, Burgers, Blues, and Barbecue in Dogwood, right by Chipotle. Open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So you got the honey butter chicken biscuit. You got the comeback burger. You know, at night you want to start with some fried pickles and then get into something else. To-go orders, B3, Burgers, Blues, and Barbecue in Dogwood. All right, I've got Jackson Meadows with me. I'm your host, Bo Bounds. We are the Out of Bounds Show, ESPN 105.9 The Zone. We're rolling here on a Monday. And we've got the NFL draft this weekend. And we'll see what happens with the, well, no, Bears at number one, Caleb Williams. Commanders at number two, Jaden Daniels. And at number three, what are the Patriots going to do? There's a lot of chatter and talk between 4 and 11. You know, at three, do you go Drake May or J.J. McCarthy So let me walk you through this. Some of y'all do, some of you don't. Caleb Williams, quarterback out of Southern Cal, won to the Bears. Bears haven't played offense. They make Mississippi State look prolific on offense since, you know, hiring, I guess, Mullen. Yeah. The Bears have been awful on offense forever and ever and ever and ever. They couldn't even do what they needed to do around Jay Cutler, who was a good quarterback in the NFL. The Commanders have been a disaster, but they have a new ownership. You know, Dan Snyder somewhat got run out of the NFL. Who knows all the stuff that was happening there, but they were the Redskins. When I was growing up, they were good. Joe Theismann, John Riggins, the Hogs, Daryl Green, Monk. You know, I mean, they won Super Bowls and they did what they needed to do. And then they lost their way for a long, long time, but they are a rabid, rabid fan base in the Washington, D.C. area. It's insane. The number that they pull, and as far as, you know, TV, and so it's a big, big market, and they've won Super Bowls, so they love it.
Right.
And that D.C. area bleeds into Virginia and so on, as you know. And our federal government has grown way too much. So there's a ton of people up there.
Yes.
And so, you know, the Commanders at two, LSU quarterback, Jaden Daniels. All right. Three, maybe. I mean, maybe Drake May, but this is where I'm going.
Sure.
Three, Drake May out of North Carolina. Most of you didn't watch North Carolina football. I don't blame you. It's pretty boring. Phil Longo made it real fun, and then he went to Wisconsin, and then they just totally fell on their face last year. And Mac Brown seems like a pretty good dude, but, you know, he's 72 years old, and it's probably time to give it to somebody else. And so what do they do? Drake May out of North Carolina or J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan for the New England Patriots? Bill Belichick is no longer there. Bill Belichick is not coaching this year.
That's absurd.
He was not hired by any NFL team. Rumors that Robert Kraft told Arthur Blank. So Robert Kraft is the owner of the New England Patriots, as most of you know.
Right.
Arthur Blank is the owner of the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
Rumors that maybe there was some, I mean, they've known each other, right? They've flown all over together. They meet at the nicest resorts in the country for NFL owners meetings. And, you know, they're 32 guys, right? 32 guys on, or men or women, on NFL franchises. I mean, it is rarefied air, the elite of the elite, multi-billion dollar franchises, okay? That Kraft may have told Arthur Blank, you don't want to deal with Bill Belichick. And that's why the Falcons did not hire him.
No, man.
Yeah,
don't tell me
reports and so on all over the place. Now, what happened and what didn't, I don't know. I don't have their cell phone records.
Come on, Robert.
But there could be some animosity there between Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick. But boy, they had magic going for a long time.
Then you're holding the brother down.
Evidently.
Come on.
Now, Bill hasn't said anything, and Belichick was on McAfee last week, and he's funny. I mean, these guys have these personalities that we don't see when they're in the grind, like Saban and Belichick.
Right.
But it is amazing that we've got three Hall of Fame coaches in Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, and Pete Carroll that are not coaching. Throw in Urban Meyer, but Urban hasn't been coaching for the last couple of years. I really wonder if he's ever going to really jump back in it, or if he is just going to enjoy himself and make TV money and so on. But we have Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, and Pete Carroll, who are amazing at their craft.
That's everything I know.
I mean, they're brilliant. Like football savants. Somehow they get that many people. It's like if you run a company. They get that many people to get on the same page and execute at a high level the majority of the time. Alabama Crimson Tide, New England Patriots, Seattle Seahawks. And, of course, Pete did it at Southern Cal, too. None of them are, you know, there. It is a passing of the torch.
It is.
Now, Mike Vrabel, he should have been rehired. I mean, he should have been hired again.
Right. Vrabel's good. He will.
Yeah, he will.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He will, but well, man, they missed out. You know, Tennessee did not do a good job while he was there in the front office, and I don't understand it. But Mike Vrabel, who was the head football coach for the Tennessee Titans for a while, will coach again, and he will do a good job, and he may have a chance. In fact, I think he will, to win a Super Bowl. What are my expectations? I already got the text on the Dallas Cowboys. Well, they don't ever do any. They don't ever move up or down because that would take Stephen Jones actually doing some work.
Right.
Stephen's doing something else today. Remember what the other GMs are doing. I'm looking at all these press conferences. They're working 20 hours a day on their team. Stephen this morning's in a call on oil, gas, and energy. Then he'll be on a call on real estate. Then he'll, you know, may speak to some club in Dallas or Houston. While Roseman with the Eagles and Lynch with the 49ers and Veach with the Chiefs, all they're doing every single minute of every single hour of every single day is working on making their rosters better. Remember what I think it was Blogging with the Boys or something. It's this funny podcast by the Cowboys. And one of the guys worked for the Cowboys. And he told this story that they tape everything. They tape everything, both audio and visual, of the draft room. And a few years ago, Stephen Jones answered the phone in the draft room, and it was the Lions offering a pretty good player. And he said, "Who?" This is supposed to be the GM of the Cowboys. Roseman knows who that guy is with the Eagles, Veach with the Chiefs, and Lynch with the 49ers. He hangs up the phone. They call back. "Are you interested?" He goes, "No." He never asked anybody in the room. So the Cowboys, if I had to guess, are just going to stay right where they are. They're not going to move up or back ever. And they're just going to kind of do what they do. They're 32nd in spending in the offseason. They're the most valuable franchise in the NFL. They are. $10 billion plus if Jerry wanted to sell it today. Maybe 15, really. Depend on it. Saudi Arabia wanted a piece. We're live in the Bank Plus studio. Steve Robertson, 9:30. Expect anything. I just expect the Cowboys to stay where they are. There are some people who are doing their homework on the fact that, you know, they don't have a full-time general manager in a league there where, you know, how many games are decided by a field goal or less. Again, this isn't college football and high school football, where we get a million blowouts on Friday night and Saturday.
Oh.
This is the NFL. And a large percentage of these games are close. Everybody's good. They're not all run well, but everybody has players.
Right.
You know, I get that. I understand there is a difference in how you run, like the Philadelphia Eagles or Chiefs and 49ers and Ravens. Wow. I mean, you know, the Ravens have been working 20 hours a day on the NFL draft.
Yeah. Minimum.
And everybody has, even the bad teams. Boy, the Lions have really come a long way with Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
That guy's a machine.
Man, they're fun. It's a fun organization.
I'd kick his ass out.
That's what Dan Campbell said.
I'd kick his ass out.
Boy, Dan Campbell, he had a good year last year. That mojo works. You know, he's just fiery enough, but he has the respect of the locker room.
Yeah.
You know, the Eddie O stuff would never work in the NFL. Obviously, Will Muschamp stuff wouldn't work in the NFL. I mean, Will's not even a good college head coach. But I'm talking about, you know, it just that's not the way that it works. You know, the Hugh Freeze stuff wouldn't work in the NFL.
No.
Now, Lane would work. Lane is NFL, you know, and he kind of He wanted to be that way, but then the college game became more NFL with NIL.
Yeah.
And Lane has the ability to work, you know, it's not all, but there's a lot of, I mean, I know Saban had been doing that for a while and others, but Lane Kiffin has the ability to operate it somewhat like an NFL team.
Yeah.
With the NIL and explain, you know, to the players that, you know, if you're good enough, you'll stay. And if you're not, you're gone. He saw that at Alabama. I mean, nobody processed more players the last 15 years, even prior to NIL, than Nick Saban.
Remember the first time you said that we're processing players years ago.
Man, the journalists did some pearl clutching. You know, the college football writers.
Yeah.
These are the same ones that wanted to cancel the season in 2020.
Right.
Idiots. And so, yeah, man, they just were like, what are we going to do? We can't do that to 19-year-olds. Actually, you can.
Yeah.
I mean, they flip around in recruiting. They're now getting into transferring. You can process kids. They like to transfer. Yeah. Whatever.
They process.
It's a free for all. You know, it is what it is. But you know, Dan Campbell with the Detroit Lane is much more. You know, in it. You could. I don't know if he'll ever be able to make the jump. You know, we'll see. He's already almost an eternity level. I mean, this will be year five at Ole Miss. That's incredible. I mean, you know, he wants to win a national championship, or he wants to go to the NFL and compete on. He wants to go to the NFL and play, you know, ball at that level. He believes he saw his dad for decades coach at the high. I mean, it's just such a different game, right? We all love Saturdays, but I mean, the level of play is night and day, you know, from Saturdays to Sundays. But he's got a hell of a team this year and a hell of a schedule. So this is when you make hay before you go to 9 conference games. Sooner than later, this is when you make hay.
When, obviously, with the play being that much higher in the NFL on Sundays, obviously the coaching is going to be that much higher. Should be.
Oh, it is.
And, you know, once you enter that echelon, you don't want to leave. Are you at least, once you get
to the did you see all the college coaches leave for the NFL, including assistants? I mean, look at all the assistant coaches in college that left. If they had an opportunity to go to the NFL, they left because they don't want to deal with recruiting in NIL.
I mean,
we had this flood of college coaches when they were offered. Years ago, sometimes they would get offered assistants to get another assistant job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, nah, I want to be in college.
Right.
But now today, with the unrest and disruption and they can't, you know, we don't need two portals opening. You know, we've now got our second one. None of them ever can take any. See, in the NFL, you can take, when you're off, you're off.
Right.
You don't have
to call
players. You don't have to call moms and dads. That's you don't have to call handlers and deal with all that nonsense and drama. So when you're a defensive coordinator or a QB coach in the NFL, when you're off, you're done. You're at the lake. You're at the pool. You're in the mountains, or you're at your house. You know, grilling out with your buddies in your neighborhood in Baltimore, or Philadelphia, or Cincinnati, or where Tennessee Titans. Yeah, you're there. You're good. You know, college coaches get up, get out of the shower. Because you've read these articles over the years, and on the way into work, assistants or head, you know, they're dialing players or their NIL director, Charlie Winfield and Walker Jones. Okay, where are we? How much? Okay. Oh, they're countering. Okay. You know, all that. But if you're a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, but hey, if you're a DB coach, wide receivers coach, making a ton of money, you don't do, when you're off, you're off.
Yeah. It's got to be that, right?
The front office gives you your players. Here are the 8 wide receivers that you're going to coach this year. That's it. That's who you have to work with.
It's kind of luxurious.
Yeah.
It's really luxurious.
And here are the 3 that we have on the practice squad. So
I mean, what is the counter now for colleges? How do you pull back? How do you say, nah, we got you down here?
Well, I do think that we'll see a little bit. The dust will settle. We're just still a little ways away.
Still a little dusty.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I can deal with dust.
The dust will settle. Speaking of, I saw Wilderness Trail Bourbon at Taste in Starkville, and I've said this, whenever I see Wilderness Trail Bourbon, I'm going to let you know. And it's the official bourbon of the Out of Bounds show, and they're winning awards left and right, and we'll be up there in July. We're going to pick out a private barrel. Nathan McCarty with Briarwood Wine and Spirits still has some of the barrel pick. Wilderness Trail Bourbon barrel pick, private barrel. Once it's gone, it's gone. He still has some at Briarwood Wine and Spirits, 4949 Old Canton Road. Wilderness Trail Bourbon, and it's the weeded barrel pick. Boom. At Briarwood Wine and Spirits, 4949 Old Canton Road.
It's got some weed in it.
Wheat.
Oh, weeded. Oh, weed.
Yeah, weeded.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. You know,
the weeded.
Mic. You hear what you want to hear, right?
Yeah, you hear what you want to hear. But Wilderness Trail Bourbon is on fire. The owner is coming into Mississippi in the fall. We're going to do a couple of events. Looking forward to that. I went to Wilderness Trail Bourbon, the distillery, last year, but we didn't pick out a barrel. But they took us in the tasting room, and they picked out some, like, premium stuff. And it was unbelievable.
Are we talking about, like,
so they got the high rye and they've got the weeded, and it's good. So we will be picking out a barrel pick in July, but there is some of a Wilderness Trail barrel pick right now at Briarwood Wine and Spirits, 4949 Old Canton Road. But don't forget, Taste and Starkville has it. Also, Philip M's, Pearl River Resort has it. So does Mama and M's. They've really upped their bourbon game at both restaurant and bars. Mama and M's is right across the floor, casino floor, from the sports book in the Golden Moon. Philip M's is in Silver Star. It's got the super cool bar that I always tell you about. We'll be there Thursday night, and then we'll do a show there Friday from Pearl River Resort. I'm looking forward to that. Bet 50, play 40, Pearl River Resort. Steve Robertson next. Springtime is here, and it's time to celebrate baseball and hoops with super premium Patron Tequila. Two of my favorite Patron Tequila cocktails are the Patron Reposado Paloma and the Patron Silver Margarita. Patron Tequila is 100% blue agave and handcrafted for me and you. Here's to a Patron cocktail with good friends. Visit PatronTequila.com for wonderful cocktail recipes.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, Steve Robertson on the Out of Bounds show. ESPN 105.9 The Zone. We're driven by your next Nissan Pathfinder or Nissan Rogue. SUV crossover. Canon Nissan in Jackson. Canon Nissan in Jackson. Pre-owned or new. Two great-looking vehicles, by the way. The Pathfinder's new body style is awesome. And the Rogue crossover has amazing gas mileage. This is ESPN 105.9 The Zone. I'm your host, Bo Bounds. We welcome in Steve Robertson, Gene's Page, 247 Sports. He joins us on the Farm Bureau Insurance Guest Line. How was your weekend?
My weekend was great. You know, I mean, you get the spring game, you get a SEC sweep, you pick up a big four-star commitment this morning. I mean, you know, work some on the book. I mean, you know, what do I have to complain about?
Who committed?
Tyshawn Willis committed about 10 minutes ago. That's something we've been expecting for some time. And I remember we first profiled him. He actually had an offer from Mississippi State, but he didn't want to put his offers out there. He just said, you know, listen, I'm not really a social media guy, and I'm just kind of looking at this, figuring out what's best for me. And, you know, matter of fact, when he came in for his first visit to Mississippi State, and even, like, didn't even do the photo shoot. You know, he just like, hey, I just want to be about business. And so he's a different kind of kid. You know, down from Belma Jackson there, and, you know, he's a little bit different. But I tell you what, I love this kid's game. They play him as an edge out of necessity in high school to generate some pass rush. But he'll be a linebacker. And you start looking at this linebacker room for Mississippi State, and you got A.J. Rice committed, who is a monster. His family's from Crawford, Mississippi, though he plays over at Madison Academy in Alabama. And now you've added Willis, and now it appears that Tyler Lockhart is inching a little bit closer to a decision, too. And I would say if that proves to be the case, and we certainly expect it to be, that Mississippi State has done right well at linebacker.
Okay. All right. So let's discuss the football piece of the puzzle. This is the first. So, you know, you've got friends. I've got friends at Mississippi State. They'll text you their thoughts. It's been a while since they've been excited about football. And I know it's only a spring game, but I couldn't believe, like, some of my pessimistic guys were like, they were really fired up about what they were watching as far as Shapen and Lebby on Saturday. Did you get that kind of feedback?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, you couldn't even get through the first quarter. And people are like, oh, my gosh, look at these transfers. And I think that's the thing. When you look at what Bumpus and Lebby have done to just kind of retool that wide receiver room, Kelly Akari, a freak, Coleman, a freak, Mario Craver comes in there a little bit thin, but, man, that kid is really, really fast. And in the first shot you take of the spring, you dial it up and throw it up to him. And, you know, it's just that room, and it has to be. That wide receiver room has to be strong. The quarterback room has to be strong. And I think on Saturday we saw evidence that's really the case. And, you know, listen, I'm not expecting State to go out there and contend for a, you know, Power 5 bowl or Power 6 bowl, whatever you want to call it these days, Access 6, whatever. They'll change the name before we get there. But, I think this is a solid bowl team, and I think they're going to be really good offensively. But Blake Shapen, I think, adds a dimension that you haven't had because of his mobility. That was the thing that stood out to me, not just his ability to take the shot, but when things broke down, he has the athleticism to kind of evade pressure and buy time and extend plays. And I don't know if State's really had that for a while. And, I mean, that kid can throw it on a dime, too. I mean, when he first committed, people were like, hey, we're still looking. However, if this is where we end up going, this is a good thing for us, and people don't realize how good it is. And I think because of those modest expectations among the fans, when they saw Blake Shapen on that field Saturday, you're like, you know what? This kid's better than I thought. You know, we got a chance here. And so, yeah, fully expect this offense to be a lot of fun here in the next few months.
Yeah, they haven't had a playmaker since Fitzgerald. Trader was going to be a good player, but there was just a disruption there between, you know, Moorhead and Leach and so on. So it's the first time they've had a playmaker there in a long time. And then this Lebby offense is much more modernized. I mean, it's what Lane's running. It's what, you know, people running all over the country from Baylor and RG3, and everybody's got their wrinkles in it, as you know. As far as Shapen's, were you surprised at his mobility? And do you think he'll use his – he doesn't need to run 15 times a game. Do you think he'll run 6 or 7? Just, you know, pull it down and make people think about it, running 4, 5, or 6 yards every now and then.
Yeah, he's got to keep him honest. You know, and yeah, I think that'll be the case. And he's the guy, too. I mean, I don't think you're going to dial up a lot of quarterback design runs for him. But I think that he is the guy when he gets out outside the pocket, maybe you run that high-low concept and it's not there, he'd go out there and get you 5 yards and move the chains. You know, I think that's a dimension to this offense that he brings that, you know, in the past people could just kind of sit back in coverage and dare you to throw it. I don't think that's the case. I think he kind of puts linebackers in conflict. And so that's an element, again, that State hasn't had. But and it was encouraging to just see – you know, just him be able to get outside the pocket when things break down and be able to make some plays and keep his eyes downfield and not really panic and kind of let the game speed him up. I think State has done really well there. And now you just got to keep him healthy and keep those guys progressing. But that wide receiver room has got some real dudes in it.
Yeah, so they lose Justin Robinson last week, who's talented, but never really committed like he needed to. So take me down. Who are your top four, best to number four after the spring as far as wide receivers?
Well, I tell you what, it's I would really prefer to go with like passing targets because I think you got to include Treyor, the tight end, in there too.
Sure,
and he was the guy that a lot of people don't know a lot about because he had to sit out last year, which is crazy that he has to sit out. Now the rules are you can transfer every 15 minutes, but anyway. I was impressed with how they used him. And Dave Murray kind of quipped after he scored the touchdown. He goes, I need somebody to give me clarification. Is it legal to throw a ball to a tight end and let him score? You know, it's been a long time since State has utilized a tight end. And I see him kind of as a longer Marcus Green. You know, he was a guy that came to Mississippi State as a running back and had some groin issues, but really added some athleticism to the tight end room, though he didn't have a huge catch radius. This guy is an NFL prospect, and I think that is a significant development that maybe people aren't counting on for this year because he wasn't in the recent class. You know, he was in two classes ago and just had to sit out and go through practice squad stuff. But when you think about Akari, what he did at UTEP, I mean, goodness gracious, you know, that guy put up some huge numbers. And, yes, I get it's a G5 conference, but when you saw him out on that field Saturday, he just has an edge and an enjoyment of the game. It's like when he scored, he was more than happy to get out there and dance, but I think he was even more excited when he saw his friends score. And so, listen, there's only so much you can tell from a spring game, right? I mean, we all know this. I mean, you can never get too high or too low. But we have endured some 3-0 spring games, right?
Good. You know, gravy. Right?
And so I thought Saturday was fun. I thought the fans had fun. I thought it was a lot of enthusiasm on campus. And, of course, we get rained out in baseball on Saturday, but I think a lot of people, you're thrilled with the sweep in baseball, but I think really the takeaway is you come across and say, you know what, hey, it's okay to get excited about football because I think that Jeff Lebby and this crew have things kind of moving in the right direction.
Yeah, so there's finally some excitement there on football with Lebby and Shapen. I mean, if he stays healthy, you've got more than a good enough quarterback, and like you said, they've surrounded him with some nice pieces. What else? Tell me. All right, so Shapen and Lebby, you know, they carried the day. What else jumped out at you? Because, look, people are questioning the defense. They're going to have to score a lot of points. Can they get to 6 or 7 wins? We'll see. There's a few opportunities. Florida at home, Arkansas at home, Missouri at home. What else really jumped out at you as far as the spring game? Individuals.
Well, I thought Brandon Jennings did a really good job at linebacker. You know, he's a guy that comes in from Hines and well-traveled guy, you know, and a lot of people, when they took him, people were like, why are we taking this guy? I think you saw on Saturday why you take that guy. You know, I mean, he is a guy that got a sack right there in front of me, but he looks and moves like an SEC linebacker should. And, of course, there's going to be some opportunities now without Jet and Boogie Watson there. I think Brandon Jennings is a guy you look at right now and say, you know what, that guy, we expect him to be, have a seat at the table with the starting defense come this fall. I thought he looked really good. I thought DeMonte did some really good things at edge. They still need an edge. I think you got to go get one in the portal. But I think DeMonte coming back is a significant development for this team. So you feel good there. But and I think Isaac Smith did some good things out there at safety. And you kind of have known he's a known commodity. He's just kind of got to get up to SEC snuff. But I think defensively, you're right. I mean, that's going to be the real challenge. You're probably going to have to win some games you know, with shootouts. And I look at some of those games that you mentioned too. I mean, the question becomes is, you know, can those teams score? Because I think Mississippi State is going to be able to score. So you may have some games that you win 38-35, and you just need to get enough stops to win. I don't think it's going to be a dominant defense. I do think it's going to be a very competitive defense.
Okay. Yeah. I think defense could be average. Offense could be pretty good. And that may drive Leb. First of all, I think people will be excited. You know, I mean, you want to move the ball and score this day and age, right? I mean, it as much as people love Cheryl, you know, or whoever, you know, some of those teams were good, but they were awful on offense, and you just can't. That's not really the model anymore. Okay, so what is the next? You may not say a name, but what is the next shoe to drop in the portal for Mississippi State, position wise?
Well, you know, I'm going to have an update on some things earlier today, but, you know, Damian Martinez visited this weekend, and I'm told the visit went exceptionally well. That Levy did a really good job connecting with him. And that's an advantage that I think State has now that maybe they didn't. And listen, you know how much I love Mike Leach.
Right? I do too, but I know exactly where you're going, and you're right. I mean, it just is what it is.
Well, and not to mention Mike was on the tail end of his career, and, you know, he wasn't as engaged with the recruiting. You know, the assistants did it, and he was just kind of the closer. You know, people came in, and their parents were in awe because they're sitting across the desk from Mike Leach. The information that I get from kids about Levy is that he gets it. Like, he understands what's important to them, and he understands that they want to know, hey, this is going to be my role in this scheme, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is – hey, we're going to bring you in. We're going to get you ready for the NFL, and we're going to get you a college degree. And, you know, really, we're going to give you every opportunity to be successful. How good you're going to be is going to depend on your own willingness to work. And he is just so engaging with these people, and he's involved. You know, I think at times Joe Moorhead may have been too involved, whereas, like, the kids were going directly to him, and Leach maybe not as involved as he should have been.
I think you nailed it. I think you did.
I think there is a really good balance with Levy. I think Levy, number one, lets the assistants recruit, but he's leading that effort. He's not micromanaging that effort. And I think as a result, when the kids get a chance to talk to Jeff Levy, you're like, hey, this is my buddy. He's my coach, but I also understand this is a guy that understands where I'm coming from and what I want to accomplish. And I think it's a good mix. And every recruit that you talk to talks about the interactions they've had with Jeff Levy. And I think that speaks well for not only his recruiting prowess, but the kind of coach that he's going to be. It's not going to be like, hey, first day you show up or you come to the official visit and you're just really having meaningful interaction with your head coach. I think his involvement and the level of his involvement is absolutely perfect right now.
Steve Robertson, Jeans Page, 247 Sports, the Boneyard Podcast. When are you dropping the pod?
Well, I got to write a baseball story and write up some bones, and then we're going to do the pod. So I'm hoping to be done around lunch, but we'll see.
You know, I think you just framed it up well. I talk about this all the time, Moorhead to Leach, and it was a brutal transition, Mullen, Moorhead to Leach. And then, of course, obviously, someone passes away. But I think you framed that up well. Joe was too involved and wouldn't move off of his guys and, you know, wanted everybody wrapped up in the summer. And then wouldn't listen to anybody. And then Mike wasn't involved and didn't have the staff to get it done. Didn't have the dudes. I think, you know, I've been around Levy. He's got this youthful exuberance. I mean, he's just a dude. And so there is, and you can feel it when you're just sitting there BSing with him, chewing the fat. And so it's a whole nother ballgame. Really, you know, I don't even know if they've ever had anything like this. As far as recruiting, and he's taken from the Heupel, Kiffin, and maybe a little bit of, I mean, Venables is a madman. I know he's on the defensive side of the football, but Steve, you know this. Venables is an absolute warlord recruiter at Clemson. And, I don't know how good they'll be at Oklahoma, but he's going gangbusters. So there's a little bit about what, don't you agree? There's a little bit about what Heupel, Kiffin, and Drinkwitz are doing. And Levy's very aware of what's working today in college football?
Oh, I think it's in question. And that was the thing that people called for the last few years of Leach. You know, we need to modernize the air raid. And And in many respects, that's what you're getting now. You know, you're getting the more modern version. You have some of those same passing concepts and obviously some opportunities to stress people down the field, but you're also mixing the run game and you're doing some dynamic things in the run game and not just running off tackle, you know, every once in a while running a stretch play just to kind of keep people honest. I mean, they're doing some things and kind of lining up running backs in situations that get them a mismatch. And I think basically fans are getting what they wanted. You're getting a young, innovative coach that is very involved with recruiting, but not overly involved, but also too, a guy that is innovating the scheme to a more modern look.
Who's the best recruiter on the staff outside of Bumpus?
Yeah, you kind of have to throw that disclaimer out there, don't you? I think Cody Kennedy's done a really good job so far, too. I'm eager to see what, you know, Matt Barnes, of course, has done really well in the portal, but he's kind of recruiting kids that he coached, you know, and so those things are important. But, you know, Dave Turner obviously has a good pedigree of being a good recruiter and a good developer, but, you know, needs a good year this year. And I think there's some pieces out there that'll be awfully interesting. But, yeah, I mean, Bumpus is kind of setting the standard right now. But, you know, some of these guys, you're kind of learning, kind of getting up to speed. But I think Cody Kennedy probably had as good a guy as any in the portal last year. You know, not just in Mississippi, but really in the SEC West. So he did a really good job recruiting his position group and kind of retooling that offensive line.
This is interesting. You have an engaged, young offensive mind as the head coach who all he's ever known is the Baylor offense, which everybody's running, Heupel, Kiffin, Drinkwitz, everybody else. And, you know, as much Dan did an amazing job. He did. He brought that youth and energy and so on. And I don't think Mississippi State fans, Steve, realized what they had until he was gone. I know he, you know, rubs some people the wrong way, but who gives a damn? But they've never really had anybody quite like this. Dan was the closest version coming out of what everybody was running in 2007, or a lot of people 2007 and 2008 at Florida or whatever. Is that how you see it, Steve? They've never really had a guy like this.
Well, I think the early years with Dan, maybe you did, right?
Yeah.
Of course, when Dan became some more ambitious and, you know, had his two-bit agent out there getting his name mentioned for every job from, you know, Rutgers to Hines Community College, you know, I mean, it was, I think it, when Dan was fully committed to Mississippi State, yeah, it was a lot like this. And then all of a sudden, I think if he didn't get that Miami job, he's thinking, okay, well, now what do I got to do? You know, and I think the staff did some really good job recruiting behind him, but I don't think that he was as engaged as maybe Levy is. And I think that's the real challenge for coaches is how do you weigh your career ambitions to your responsibilities with your current employer? You know, that's the thing that will be interesting to see is if Levy wins big early at Mississippi State, does that change him? You know, I don't think that it will. But at the same time, too, that's always the concern. It's like, hey, do you start thinking, is this a stepping stone job for me or do I see it as a destination job? I think Jeff Levy's such a winner. He's going to try to win no matter where he is. And a big part of that is going to be the recruiting piece.
All right, let's switch gears. There's talk that Mississippi State will have to get to 15 conference wins instead of 14. Now, that's 5-7 down the stretch. That's doable. But they sweep Auburn. They're at 10 with 12 games left, as you know. I think they've got a good team. Not a great team, not an average team. Of course, for college baseball this year, it looks like it could be, you know, pretty darn good. Do you think they, because of some of the non-conference losses, do you think they have to get to 15 to get in, Steve?
I think they have to, but I'd feel a lot more comfortable if they did. And I think there's a realistic chance at 16 right now. I mean, and you know, you could probably pull an upset somewhere and get to 17. I'm not expecting that. But if you just think about right now, if you just look at the final four weekends, if you just do what the minimum standard is each weekend, right? You expect to win the series at home and take one on the road. If you're able to do that, that's six more wins. That gets you to 16. And that includes going to Fayetteville. And we had an interesting discussion last night. When you go to Fayetteville, do you throw off on Friday night against Hagen Smith? And because every win's valuable, right? I mean, everything you need. You're trying to go win a series. And it's kind of a intriguing situation. You know, last year against LSU, you throw off against Skeens, and then you win the road series against the eventual national champions. When you go to Fayetteville, do you consider doing that? Maybe do you throw Brooke Soger against Hagan Smith and then have Cal Stephen on Saturday?
I don't think they can do it. I think it makes – I just don't think coaches can do it. Lamonis or whatever their name last name is. I see where you're – I mean, don't you agree, Steve? We talk about that and matching up maybe a different way because of the dominance of Arkansas staff. But what would you say, Steve? 99% of the time the coach just can't do it?
Yeah, well, the thing you got to factor in, too, is the timing of that series, right? You got to think about, you know, everybody, to get ready for the SEC tournament, you know, they moved those other series up. So that's a factor you got to consider, too.
Sure.
But he did it last year, and that's the thing. It's just something to think about because, you know, you don't have to make that decision, you know, for a couple of weeks. But you start thinking, okay, you go to Vanderbilt, who is similarly situated with Mississippi State. They're tied right now for fifth in the Southeastern Conference right now. And then you got to go up there. And granted, that pitching staff has been really good, but at times they've really struggled to score, as has Mississippi State. I think this is going to be a very intriguing series, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this, you know, suspension for the Vandy pitcher. You know, traditionally suspensions are a 4-game deal, but this, you know, illegal substance, it's an NCAA issue at that point. I haven't really done the research to see.
Oh, I don't even know what you're talking about. Tell me.
Yeah, so Vanderbilt's Saturday starter kept going to his elbow.
Oh, I saw that. I saw the video on Twitter. Okay, tell me about it a little bit more. What?
Yeah, so he kept going to his elbow. And, of course, all the Vanderbilt fans are saying, well, that's just sunscreen. Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. And you're using 11.7 scholarships, too. Yeah. So, but Sully kept referencing it. And so they got, sure enough, they go out and check him, and they, you know, they deem what it to be, you know, illegal substance on his elbow. And that's the thing, too. If it's sunscreen, why does he keep going to it? You know, and what's so funny, too, I laugh at these people that say, and there's a lot of people, again, Bo, that love baseball, that don't know baseball, right? And so people are like, oh, well, he wiped. Yeah. Are you kidding me? You know, you think that anybody can see that every finger wipes? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that I've encouraged people to cheat in the past, Bo, but I've coached baseball before, right? I know. You know, you can wipe and keep a finger up, you know, and so – you know, it's a crazy thing how baseball works, but I'm interested to see what does that do, but also too, you know, how does that kind of shake some things up? Because if you want a distraction, you want it to be on the other side of the diamond, right? And that's where the distraction currently lies. And so, you know, State sweeps the series, and you know, Vandy gets a winning series, but then they have all this controversy. And so, I like to kind of fly under the radar in these situations. And so, I think Mississippi State's in a good position. You know, certainly you expect to get one, but if you could somehow get two this weekend, man, life gets really, really simple for you.
Yeah. All right, we'll leave it there. JeansPage.com. Steve Robertson on the Farm Bureau Insurance Guest Line. Thanks, Steve.
See you.
All right, lunch today brought to you by the amazing ribs and blue plates at Fleetway Market and the Market Cafe in Glugstadt. And don't forget, go get your premium cigars at Havana Smoke Shop in Jackson and Havana Smoke Shop at the Res. See you tomorrow.
Winning isn't everything. Wait, excuse me, read that wrong. Winning is everything. Hancock Whitney Bank is supporting today's action because we love to see people win. And we're supporting you with knowledge and support because we want to see you win too. Your business, your goals, your hopes, and your dreams. The right bank makes all the difference. How can we help you win? Visit HancockWhitney.com to find out. Hancock Whitney Bank, member FDIC.